Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. My guest's mother, she was a strong believer, had stage 4 cancer. She reached her breaking point and wanted to die. Life was just too hard. Because of the revelation that God taught my guest, she was healed. Next on It's Supernatural. Brian, you know, at lunch today, I asked you, what do you see happening in the future? And for those that don't know, Ryan is a seer prophet. And Ryan, what's going to happen in 2020?
I believe that one of the greatest outpourings is going to occur in the body of Christ through the repentance of our hearts. We're going to see men and women go back to the altar, cry out to God. They will weep because of a renewal of a fear of the Lord, a holy fear. But their weeping in the altar will turn to joy, and joy will burst forth out of the body of Christ again.
I know that that word is from the heart of God. Ryan, right after you became a believer, then you were supposed to have heart surgery, and you're dealing with that. What happened?
Yes, sir. Early in my life, I became addicted to alcohol and pills, and I consumed it so much, so quickly, I'd caused major damage to my heart. The inside of my heart was swelling.
How old were you when you started this?
When I started, I was around 13 years old, and it carried for a number of years. I kept it hid for a long time, but eventually, I ended up in and out of ERs, having to be pumped with nitroglycerin. I was on stroke levels multiple times. I was born again November 30th, 1997, and in January of 1998, I went to my first prayer meeting, had no clue what it was. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't know a whole lot about you. I know the basics, but they tell me you're a healer, and I don't want to have this major surgery. I'm too young. I need to be healed. And I just sat there, and I was quiet for the rest of the time. And then I heard healed. That's all I heard, healed. And I got up and I turned around and the whole sanctuary was empty. And there was one lady that had known me all my life. And she said, Ryan, do you know how long you've been praying? I said, no, ma'am. She said, 3.5 hours.
My goodness.
I called the doctors. I rescheduled all my tests where everywhere I had failed, I passed with flying colors.
Yeah, you know, he didn't know anything about healing. He had no paradigm. He had no formula. But he heard that God healed. And he heard the word, and it's interesting, it was past tense. He didn't say, God didn't say, you will be healed. He said, healed.
Yes,
it reminds me of 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes, you were healed. So then for 15 years, he became a mighty man of God, taught mountain-moving faith, saw signs and wonders. And then God pulled the carpet from under him. What happened? I mean, this is mind-blowing. What happened?
I did. I lived a life where a lot of people said, you have radical faith, Ryan. And I used to say, it's not radical faith. Radical faith is nothing more than obedience. You hear God, you activate upon it, and you go. But it had become something I'd become a little bit prideful about. You know, I was achieving these levels of faith. And I was visiting my parents' church in January, and I was sitting there, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, what you know about faith is nothing. And it was like a gut punch.
And I mean, this is his identity. He's teaching this to all over, seeing signs and wonders. And God says, it's nothing?
Nothing.
Woo.
And it was a moment where I said, God, you're going to have to show me what I'm missing. And he did.
And when he showed this to you, 3 months later, you got a call that no son wants to have from your mother. What did she tell you?
I did. In March of that year, I was ministering at a place in Virginia, and the phone rang, and it was my mother.
Hi, Mom.
And I knew instantly she was upset. And she said, Ryan.
Ryan.
She said, I got to tell
I've
you
got
something.
To tell
she was crying.
Something.
She said, they've diagnosed me with cancer.
I've been diagnosed
and
with
it's
cancer.
Severe in her body enough that the surgery had to be immediate. And they had to do a double mastectomy and stuff. And They were concerned about it going into the lymph nodes. And I told my mother then, I said, Mom, I said, I know right now this is a heavy word for you. And it's okay to weep. It's okay to cry. It's okay right now in this moment. But I have a word from the Lord. You will live and not die. This is an attack from the enemy. And I told her, I will fight for you in this. You're going to come out victorious.
And one of the things that I found fascinating is Brian actually knew something else that he did not tell his mom, and that's why he has had so much confidence. What did you know that you purposely did not tell your mom?
Many years prior to that, my oldest daughter now, she's fixing to be 21, and she was about 3-4 years old at the time, and my mother had called me. And she had had a series of dreams every night for multiple weeks. And in the dream, she was playing with grown grandchildren. And there was a multitude of grandchildren. And at the time of the dreams, there was only 3 grandchildren in the family. So this, I knew this was something way down the road. Because of what God had revealed to me in January, I knew that there was a prophetic destiny over my mother's life. And this is why the enemy was trying to steal that. So I didn't remind my mother about the dream.
Why?
I needed God to reveal that to her again. I needed God to bring that back up into her spirit. Not for me to remind her, but to know that the Father is calling upon you to see this fulfilled.
5 months later, Ryan, your mom wanted to die. When you hear how much she was suffering, you'll understand why. Be right back.
Call now and get Ryan Johnson's powerful brand new book, How to Contend for Your Miracle, and his anointed 3-part audio CD teaching series, Contending for a Breakthrough in Your Family. This is an exclusive offer for our It's Supernatural audience. Yours for a donation of $35. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 9671. Ryan Johnson, in his brand new book, How to Contend for Your Breakthrough, reveals keys to activate supernatural faith to help you see God's promises come to pass, even when it seems like the situation is hopeless. This is a must-read book. Through this book, you will understand how supernatural encounters and faith work together to bring answered prayers. Learn how to use the dreams, visions, and prophetic words that God gives you as an anchor for your faith and a weapon against the enemy. Discover how to activate the gift of faith to accelerate the fulfillment of your prophetic promises. Understand how to thrive in the midst of your struggles by standing on the Word of God. You will begin to experience your healing, your miracle, your breakthrough. You will also receive Ryan's exclusive 3-part audio teaching, Contending for Breakthrough in Your Family. Through this anointed series, you will understand the power and authority you carry and how to release it and change the world around you. Learn how to clearly discern God's voice from the enemy's voice that is trying to distract you from accessing your breakthrough. Discover how to activate the prophetic word and promises given by God to you. Open a channel to heaven to receive God's wisdom to deal with your everyday circumstances and decisions. This audio series is saturated with powerful prayers of impartation. Ryan prays over you at the end of each teaching for you to encounter the glory of God's presence on a moment-by-moment basis, to be able to activate the gift of prophecy in your life, to have an increase of more dreams, visions, and signs and wonders, to receive God's healing for emotional and physical disorders. Don't miss out on getting Ryan Johnson's powerful brand new book, How to Contend for Your Miracle, and his anointed 3-part audio teaching series, Contending for a Breakthrough in Your Family. This is an exclusive offer for our It's Supernatural audience. Yours for a donation of $35. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 9671. Call or you can send your check to Sid Roth. It's Supernatural. P.O. Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina 28278. Please specify offer number 9671 or log on to SidRoth.org. Call or write today.
So your mother had all the cancer removed, all the treatments that go with that kind of cancer. But the treatments took a toll on her.
They did. Because of the severity of the cancer, she had to have chemo and radiation at the exact same time. And it took a major toll on her. But what we didn't anticipate is how it would affect her mind. and how the enemy would take advantage of that. So we were visiting at my parents' house. I'd lived out of the state and we were there. And out of the blue, my mother snaps. Now, she's a 5'2", very petite Southern Belle woman. And she just snapped and hollered at my father. And this was so out of her character. And she went into the bedroom and she called for my name. At first, I was not that excited about going in that bedroom. But I went in there and I had not seen my mother without her hair. I had purposely kept myself from seeing that because I wanted to be strong for my mother.
Right.
And I went in there and she pulled her cap off and she laid her head on my chest. And she said, "Ryan, I'm tired. Ryan. And I cannot do this anymore. I can't go on.
Die.
I want to die.
Please,
I need to die. Let me die."
It's the last thing you expected her to say.
I never anticipated her saying that. And I took my mother, I remember so vividly, just pushing her back by her shoulders. And I said, "Mom, I need you to hear me as a man of God for a moment and not your son. And I need you to know that this is not God's will for your life. If you will give me 40 days to pray and fast for your life, I will fight for you for the next 40 days. And at the end of the 40 days, if you do not feel like you can live, I will pray you into heaven. I will pray that God take you on, but let me fight for you."
This wasn't preconceived. It just came out of you.
It came out. So I did. I fasted. I prayed. I warred for my mother. And I kid you not, on day 40, my phone rings and my mother says this,
Ryan,
I have a reason to live. I have grown grandkids to play with.
You remember he purposely didn't tell her that? Who told her? God had to.
God brought the dream back to my mother's. And that's when I knew that God had renewed her mind and restored that prophecy back into her life. And she went on and has been cancer-free ever since.
What would you say that your mom learned from? I mean, your mom's a spirit-filled believer, loves God, what would you say she learned from this experience?
You know, I asked both my parents that question, and they both said the same thing. They said they had to learn how to be able, with kindness, to tell people, "I don't need to hear everything. I need to hear what God is saying." Some people would come, and they would have their stories, and they would mean well, but you don't realize sometimes how the enemy can creep in and just pull you down mentally and physically and emotionally. And they said, the lesson I learned was to make sure that the greatest voice in my life was the voice of the Father.
God told you that you had, especially after the revelation that you don't know anything about faith, that you have a life message that you're supposed to be telling people.
I did. I went back when the Lord said, "You don't know anything about faith." I thought, "How do I not know anything about faith, God?" I remember praying in that service. I fell to my knees, went down on my face, and I quoted Hebrews 11:1 right off the bat. And I knew those things. But I went back and I read and I said, "What makes the Abraham the father of all faith?" For years I said he was the greatest because he said yes. He said yes to God. But what was it? And I realized a lot of times what we call faith is really an encouragement from a previous event. We believe that people can get out of wheelchairs because we've seen others get out of wheelchairs. We believe bats can straighten up because we've seen bats. And those are encouraging things. But it's not necessarily faith. If you've never had an example of something, how can you believe for it? And I went back to Abraham's life. And in Genesis 22, Abraham was called by God to take his son Isaac and sacrifice him. And I thought to myself, how did he do that? It's not like he could say, "You did it for George, so you're going to do it for me."
Right.
He had no examples.
No role model.
No, none. And I went back and I looked at the scripture and I'm reading this passage of scripture. And in Genesis 22:3, it literally says, God says, "I'll show you where to go." And verse 3 says, "And Abraham went to the mountain in which God told him to go," which is in the region of Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah is the region that Jesus would one day be crucified. Now, in that process, in verse 4, it says, "On the third day, Abraham saw the place from a distance." And that jumped out on the pages and got me. And I said, wait a minute. What did Abraham see on the third day from a distance? What could it have been? Then you read a little bit further, and there's a ram caught in a thicket, and the word is looked. But here in verse 4, it was Saul. So I looked at the words, and the word look meant with your natural eyes, but the word Saul meant that he saw something with a supernatural vision.
And well, I thought, that's revelation. I've never heard that before.
And it's there, but I said, could Abraham have seen the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord? Could that be what he saw? Then you go to John chapter 8, verse 56. Way before the cross, way before the death, burial, way before the resurrection, Jesus says specifically, my father Abraham saw my day and rejoiced in it.
Wow. It was still hard to do what he did, but he saw that.
Yes, sir. And that's the encouragement. That's the thing. God gives individuals prophetic dreams, prophetic visions, prophetic words, and many of those are way down the road. And he'll give you the end of the story to get you to live out the rest of the story.
Well, let me ask you a question. I have a book like this filled with prophecies that haven't happened. What should I do? Toss out the book?
Absolutely not. I believe one of the things that is crucial for every believer is to get those words out. Pray over those words. Read over those words. Fast and declare those words. Those words that have been spoken over your life are marked by God. God is not a liar. God is truth. And when God says something over your life, it has been mandated to be fulfilled. We get hindered by the time and the fulfillment of the time, but the truth is, my hope and trust is not what others do or I do. My hope and trust is in what He said.
So, you just answered my next question. My next question is, what if I don't have a book full of prophecies? What if I never had any prophecy? And I know some of you are in that situation. Many of you. So what do you say to them?
Early in my life, when I was serving the Lord to begin with, I didn't understand anything about prophetic ministry. And I started going to these meetings and stuff, and I saw people giving prophetic words, and I started asking the Lord, pick me. Let them call out my name. You know, I need that word. And it just was
never... I thought that was just me.
It wasn't happening, and I didn't understand it. And one day I was in this service, and I said, oh, God, please let them call my name out. And I promise you, Holy Spirit knocked me upside the back of the head, and He said, why do you need a man to tell you what I've already told you? And I realized that I was hearing the prophetic words over my life. I wasn't recognizing them as prophetic. And this is the reality. Every person is created with a purpose and identity of their life, that they're not an accident, they're not an error, they're not a mistake. God created them and fashioned them for this time, and in that, He has prophesied over their life. I pray for every day that people have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive what the Father is saying to them. If it comes to a man or a woman, praise God. But if it don't, the best prophecy is from Holy Spirit.
What about taking a promise of God from the Bible?
I believe that you can take the promises of God and you can hold on to them for you. One of the things that I've come to understand about the Word of God is it's for me. It's for you. So when there is a promise that says that this is to be and this is how it's supposed to be, it means I get to apply that to my life. It's not that I'm just a part of something, but I'm in something. For when that word was formed, if Christ was slain before the foundations of the earth, what was destined about my life before I was ever into existence? So that promise in the Bible has my DNA and my destiny attached to it as well.
You talk about the need to not be passive, but to contend for your miracle.
Yes, sir. You have to be willing to fight for the fulfillment of the Word. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy, but the Scripture says that God gives us life and life more abundantly. We talk about the armor of God, the full armor of God, and yes, there's times that you will never have to go into battle. A son knows when it is time to lay in the lap of the king, but also when it is time to step in the battlefield. And there's times in our lives that the enemy knows and has heard what the prophetic destiny is. And because of that, they want to derail you and deny you, but you get up and fight. When you get knocked down, you get back up and you say, nope, this is what the Word says, this is what God said, and I will fight.
So, I'm going to hire you as a life coach right now. I want you to talk to someone. I want you to talk to them. They've just been to the doctor. They have just gotten, the Bible calls it an evil report. And they're coming apart, it seems, like your mom did. Talk to them.
The Bible declares, by His stripes we are healed. We are healed already, but our bodies are flesh, and they're weak at times. But I want you to remember this. I know what the doctor says, I know what the medical team says, and I know what in the natural it appears to be. But I know this, God didn't create you to cut life short in you. God created you to overcome some of the things that you're faced with. And I want you to know that even though the enemy may come, the Bible says he may come and 1,000 at your right hand, 10,000 will fall at the left hand. I'm telling you that no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. It's not my words, it's His word. So even if your body is weak right now, I decree and declare that the body has to come in alignment with God's word that declares healed, restored, and renewed right now in the name of Jesus.
And I want you to pray that we be open to receive a new prophetic word from God or fulfill an older prophecy.
Father, right now, I ask right now for every man and woman that hears under the sound of my voice. I call forth for their spiritual ears to be open now in the name of Jesus. I cancel all the white noise and distraction that the enemy has come against them. I silence the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. I plead a bloodline over every man and woman that they would have ears to hear what You have prophetically called upon their life. And Father, for the fulfillment of the prophetic words, they are marked by Your assignment. They are marked by Your glory, and they are marked by Your anointing. I call forth them to come into the existence, that they will be fulfilled in a way in only which You get the glory and honor. I remind the enemy right now in the name of Jesus that he has no power, he has no control, he has no right. I revoke his license over these prophetic dreams, visions, and words over their lives in the name of Jesus.
Maybe you know about Jesus, maybe you don't. But you know that you don't have experiential knowledge of Him. Some of you may have head knowledge. Some of you maybe have even said a prayer in a church and walked down the aisle, but you've never had your own experience with God. I want to pray that for you right now. Repeat after me. Dear God, out loud, dear God, I'm a sinner.
I'm a sinner.
And I'm so sorry.
I believe the blood of Jesus
washes away my sins.
And I am clean.
And now that I'm clean,
Jesus, come and live inside of me.
I make You my Lord.
I want an encounter with You.
An experience with You.
I need You, God.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.